Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Started this series called Home for the Holidays. One of the things that motivated me is not just the fact that it's, you know, Thanksgiving, and I hope you all had a Thanksgiving, wonderful Thanksgiving. You're a little fatter and happier as a result. One of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving. We celebrated with Dr. Morocco in Dallas and all of the Morocco family, and it was quite an event. It's a beautiful time. I hope you had a beautiful time. Home for the holidays is an expression that's been used over the years that, you know, we're going home for the holidays. I went to an all-boys boarding school, and there was nothing like coming home for the holidays. I mean, there was just nothing like it. All-boys boarding school, getting away from all of that and coming home to mom's cooking and Christmas, and we had a long break, and it just always meant something very special to me, home for the holidays. That might not ring true for you. Maybe the holidays in your home was not so great. And I understand how that can happen in a family. One of the things that I hear as a pastor here at Kings in Alaska is that when people come, they said, I feel like I've just come home. Ushers, would you help me when you get the chance? Close the doors, please, to the lobby. Thank you so much. So when people come, they many times they say, but I feel like I've come home. How many of you have ever had that feeling when you've come to church? I think one of the reasons is, and we don't always think about it, but you come from heaven. Everybody say, I come from heaven. Yeah, you didn't come out of the primordial slime. You didn't just all of a sudden show up, or millions of years of evolution. We don't believe that. And so we're knit together in our mother's wombs. And when we come into the presence of God, many people, including myself, feel like there's something that's just very comforting, like you're completed, or you've come home or something. And I've had many people tell me that when they come here, they feel like they've come home. So we started this series, Home for the Holidays. And if you don't have a home church, we would love to be that for you. And I do believe theologically, have strong convictions about having a home church. You need to have one. Don't bounce around. Don't just bounce around from church to church. Find a church that God's called you to. Go there, serve, be a part of it. It will change your lives. I was just at the wedding of my daughter and my new son-in-law. And I'm there with people that I've known for 20 and 30 years. Long lifetime relationships. People flew in from, you know, I'm just like, why would you have a wedding in Dallas? I don't know. It's their wedding. They wanted to have it in Dallas. And I would have preferred them having it here on one hand, but at the same time, I believed it was the Lord. And so people flew in from all over to honor me, my wife, and my daughter, and my family to be there. It was a closed wedding. It was 253 people exactly, and she made the wedding list. So you made a wedding list of people that were in relationship with her, and people flew in, were a part of it. You can't have those kinds of relationships unless you commit. I got like three amens from the first and second row. You have to commit. Lifetime relationships are amazing. I'm going to read from Mark 6. I want you to turn there, and in a moment we'll stand. And I'm going to do the third message of this series, and it's, is your house ready? Is your house ready? Let's go ahead and stand up on our feet, reading from the New Living Translation. Mark 7, verse 1 through 23. If you're able to stand. If not, that's no problem. One day some Pharisees and teachers of the law, are you guys ready? One day some Pharisees and teachers of the law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, did not eat until they had poured water over their cupped hands as required by ancient traditions. Similarly, they did not eat anything from the market until they immersed their hands in water. But this is one of many traditions that they clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked him, quote, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, but they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" Then he said, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God: honor your father and mother, and if anyone who speaks disrespectfully, pardon me, the father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In the same way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel," or in the New International Version, it says nullify. "And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example of many others." Then Jesus called to the crowd to come to hear. "All of you listen," he said, "and try to understand. It is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your heart." Then Jesus went to the house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what is meant by the parable that he just used. "Don't you understand either?" he asked. "Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer." By this saying, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. Then he added, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." Let's pray. Father, move in power. May we never be the same as a result of this 11 o'clock service. Thank you for what you did in the 9 o'clock, what you'll do now, and all those online, all those in this great sanctuary. Move in power. Come on, ask God to move in power in your life. Move in power here. Speak to us. May we never be the same as a result. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Before we left for the wedding, Pastor Karen, who loves the Christmas holiday, as do we, and Thanksgiving, sent Daniel and Jake, one of our interns, to help go into my crawl space and pull out all of the Christmas boxes, which is quite a chore. First of all, you have to crawl in, I don't know, you're in like 2 feet of space. It's probably 4 feet, but it feels like it's one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I feel 25 until I have to get into that space. And then I don't feel like I'm 25 anymore. Those boys went in and pulled out all the Christmas boxes and all the tubs and all the totes and the Christmas tree and all the lights and all the Christmas and nutcrackers, thank you. We collect nutcrackers, started a long time ago. Pulled all those things out, and we cleaned the house, we set things up and just got it ready to go just about. It's not quite there, got some more work to do. And we'll be ready to have family that's coming, Hannah and Derek. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson will come for Christmas, and I'll introduce you to them. It'll be great. So we're getting ready for that. Come on, if somebody was to come to your house, would you get your house ready? Most of you would. Some of you don't care, but others of you, you know, you're going to get ready for somebody to come to visit your home. You know, you're not going to have it just all disheveled and, You know, it's generally, I mean, if the president of the United States has come to your house, you'd have your house ready, right? Come on, if Jesus had come to your house, Jesus is visiting. Yeah. So when we came home from our trip, as soon as we opened the door, Pastor Karen says, "Oh God, something died." Her olfactory senses, which is another way of saying her ability to smell, is acute. She can smell anything. So we walked in, and actually, since COVID, she only can smell bad stuff. Actually, that's the truth of that. I don't know what that's about, but may she be healed even now. So we walk in, and I smell this pungent, it's like death. Something died. It's a fridge, something bad in the fridge. Something's gone wrong. So it's everywhere all over the house. And so we're trying to find it. Daniel's looking around, ends up in the basement, open the basement door, and it's super strong and pungent in the basement. And the first thing I think of is, oh, the freezer. How many ever lost a freezer? That doesn't mean much if you live in the lower 48 or the smaller state of Texas, but it does mean something here in Alaska. Oh, it's a joke, smaller state of Texas. It's a joke. You lose a freezer here, and it's all of your summer salmon, all of your moose, all of your caribou, you know, all your, I mean, you know, maybe you have a half a cow and a pig in there. I don't know. You lose a large freezer here. It's our cash, if you will. So sure enough, we think it's a freezer. So I go and I look and I smell at the freezer. I don't want to open it because I've done that before. But I'm looking for the pot, you know, the puddle of blood or whatever, and I don't see that. So we're like, wow, it's a freezer. Pastor Karen's not happy. I said, it's going to be all right. Anyway, I go back down and realize it's not the freezer. Freezer's good. Praise God. I also feel like it's a word from the Lord to get rid of my 15 or 17-year-old freezer. Because they're gonna kick the bucket eventually. How many of you know that? So I think maybe the Lord's speaking to me to get another freezer for Pastor Karen. So, but it's definitely something dead. And I looked around. I can't find it. I looked around. I can't find whatever's dead. Something's dead in my house. It's in my house right now. And I've got candles burning. And we're hoping that the stench goes away. Something's dead. If you had something dead in your house, I mean, it'd be hard to have guests because it's disgusting. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Get your house ready. Is your house ready? Is your house ready? The real question that God's asking today is your house clean in the eyes of God? Is your house clean from God's perspective? The truth is you could have clothes everywhere and your house be disheveled and it'd still be clean. Because it's not so much about things, clutter, or whatever. It's really an issue of the heart. And the house is more than your house or your apartment or your condo or wherever you're staying or living. It's really the house of your life. Is this house clean? Hebrews says that we are his house. So let's look at this text. Pharisees and teachers of the law come. And they don't come to worship. They've come to cause problems. They come to catch Jesus. They come to find fault with the Lord. And that's why they've come. So they see the disciples eating food. I'm writing the notes. How many of you have notes? Painstakingly put those together so you can fill in the blank. And then you go preach it to somebody else. If you don't have notes and you'd like them, raise your hand and one of the ushers will get that to you. So writing the notes, you saw the disciples eating food without ceremonially washing their hands. And they asked Jesus about it. In Exodus 30, verse 19, and Exodus 40, verse 12, it's the only place that talks about washing your hands. In fact, the only commandment in Scripture about washing your hands had to do with the priests needing to wash their hands and feet before they entered the tent of meeting. So what's up with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the couldn't-sees and wouldn't-sees washing their hands and getting all upset at Jesus for the fact that he didn't wash his hands and the disciples didn't wash their hands? It's because of the Mishnah. Everybody say Mishnah. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say Mishnah. It's the oral traditions. And they were taking the oral traditions of the Mishnah and elevating the oral traditions Or the Mishnah was oral, and then it became written, and the written oral traditions are called the Mishnah. And when they did that, the oral tradition began to supersede God's clear word, thus shifting the authority from God to man. And so they're accusing the word, Jesus, they're accusing him of disobeying God's word when really they're referring to their tradition that has nothing to do with the word on one hand. They're so afraid of actually breaking God's law that they made laws outside of God's law so they wouldn't come close to breaking God's law. But the Old Testament, which is a picture book of New Testament reality, that which is clean and unclean was really in reference to things that were outside in the Old Testament, external things. In the New Testament, it's the issue of the heart, clean and unclean inside. The oral tradition began to supersede the word of God. Wow. And so Jesus basically calls them hypocrites, which is what they were, which is maybe what some of you are, which truth is, all of us fall short. Before you point the finger at somebody else, realize there's three pointing back to you, these three. We all fall short. Somebody said, I'm not going to church. Bunch of hypocrites at church. Uh-huh. Of course. Well, where else should a hypocrite go? A hypocrite should go to church so he can get delivered from his hypocrisy and actually live free in Christ. Well, I'm not going there. Bunch of sinners. Uh-huh. No kidding. Somebody said, if you don't have cigarette butts outside your church, you ain't doing anything. So he calls them hypocrites, and he quotes Isaiah. You'll see it on the screen now, Isaiah 29, verse 13. And as the Lord says, these people say they're mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he quotes that. Jesus is the greatest preacher there ever was. Their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. He lets them know that they've forsaken God's word, God's command, and they're following the traditions of men. And you have to know what a scathing rebuke that was to the religious leaders. Said, you're not even obeying God's word. You're obeying the commands of men. I mean, it's incredible rebuke. Verse 8, you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. And then Jesus gives this illustration as we continue to look at this text of what they're doing. God said in Exodus 20 and verse 12 and Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, he said, honor your father and mother, and you'll live a long life, long full life in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as your Lord your God commanded you, and you'll live a long full life in the land your Lord your God has given you. Wow. So he quotes that, the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother. And then in the following verse, Exodus 20, 21 and verse 17, Leviticus 20, listen to this. God also said, anyone who curses his parents must be put to death. Listen, do not let your children curse you. You don't let your children tell you shut up. You don't let your children tell you you're stupid. You don't let your children ever do that. Because if you do allow that, you're allowing them to curse themselves, and it's your fault. You'll be held accountable for it. They'll be held accountable too. Many years ago, one of my kids watched Lilo and Stitch. And in Lilo and Stitch, I forget the scene, but the child said to the mother, I hate you. So one of our children said to their mom, I hate you. That only happened once. They got some incredible understanding on their hinder parts. I don't ever do that. You don't give, you have to require that your children obey. You know, don't miss tonight. I'm going to preach a message. I almost preached it this morning. I'm going to preach a message tonight. It's going to help families. And if you can't be here, then you can be online. But it's going to be a powerful service tonight. Obedience for children is not a choice that they have to, they have to make it eventually, but you mandate it until they're out from underneath your roof. And you teach them, not by the fear of dad or mom, but by the fear of the Lord through a warehouse, a moral warehouse that's a warehouse filled with God's word. They obey. You teach them to obey because of God's word, not because you're going to discipline them or chastise them or ground them. Didn't say that in the 9 o'clock service. You guys are getting a little bit of a different one today. Come on, somebody say praise God. All right. And so he's talking about that. The religious leaders provided a way around that obligation of taking care of parents. And he says in verse 11, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to God. So in other words, the parents that are in need, he's saying, you use a scripture to get around your obligation. And they use a scripture, which is Numbers 30. You can go there, Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2, that says that those who make a vow to God must fulfill their vow. So they're saying with the Pharisees and the Sadducees would say, you've made a vow to God to give this to God. And then you say to your parents, well, I can't help you because I vowed. They totally twist scripture. The heart of it, the true meaning of it. Numbers 30, verse 2. This is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. And they would use scripture like that. I've made a vow to give such and such to the Lord, and so I can't help you. Sorry. And he's rebuking them and calling them hypocrites. And he goes on to verse 13, and he says, you cancel the word of God, or as I said in the NIV, nullify. I like that a little better. Nullify the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is one example of many others. They were canceling or nullifying God's word by their tradition. They were unplugging the freezer. I have seen in the course of my time of serving God, which might not be as long as some of you, maybe it's longer than others, I've seen people unplug the power of God because of tradition. I've seen people unplug God's power. You say, how could that be? It's amazing. You're made in God's image. I'm made in God's image. We are made in God's image. And literally, when he gives his word like, let there be light, creation didn't have a choice. But you're so powerful, made in his image, you can unplug God's word through unbelief, through tradition. I mean, that's amazing. And I've seen it over and over. When I was receiving the tithes, I talked about there's nothing too big for God. Unless, of course, you disobey. God's word, if you obey God's word, he stands over it to see it performed. God will do what he said he would do. He's not a man that he should lie. But if you can't believe him or you unplug the freezer, you unplug the word of God, but through tradition, then you don't get the results. Does that make sense? And he's rebuking them. Listen, rocks don't have a choice. Creation doesn't have a choice. You can unplug it. Me, we can unplug it. I don't want to do that. Come on, someone say, I don't want to do that. And Jesus says in verse 15, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your heart. Wow. All of you listen. I'm not saying that. He said that. Verse 14. All of you listen. Listen, when God says listen, you should listen. He says, all of you listen. The author, the one who wrote it, the Alpha and Omega says, listen. And it's profound. I've never really seen it this way until the past 8 hours or so, 10 hours. All of you listen. My. Try to understand, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your heart. The Judaism in Jesus' day focused on the external. The Old Testament, they would focus on, well, the job of the priest was to determine what was clean, what was unclean. There's a lot of regulations about food, and Jesus destroys all of it. He is the fulfillment of over 300 Old Testament scriptures. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, fully God, fully man, is standing there. He says, listen to me. I'm the one that wrote it. It's not about food. It's about your heart. Wow. Jesus is saying that all of their laws point to a deeper reality. Spiritual uncleanness comes from the heart. The disciples couldn't grasp it. And food regulations were a big deal. Antiochus the IV came and tried to destroy Judaism. He's the one who slaughtered the pig on the altar and attempted to slaughter the pig on the altar in the temple and caused the revolts and the Maccabean Wars and all of that. And food had a big deal about food. And Jesus is basically correcting all of that. He leads them, verse 17, he leads them into the house, which Jesus went into the house to get away from the crowd. How many of you know what that's like? He leads them into the house to get away from the crowd. In the book of Mark, you'll see them, he's constantly stepping into his life group. He constantly steps into the house to give revelation to his disciples. So he would do things, he would, all that Jesus began to both do and teach in the book of Acts, chapter 1, dear Theophilus. That's what Jesus would do. He would teach it, he would do it, he would do it, he would teach it, he would model, he would teach. And many times, and especially in the book of Mark, he would go away into the house and then he would give them revelation. And I love that today because I believe that revelation should be in your house. And I believe that revelation is in this house. And I just believe that that's the way it should be. You should come aside and let God speak to you. And he brings them into the house to get away from the crowd. And he breaks down what he's saying. He gives them revelation to his disciples. And it's a radical statement that he says. It's an issue of the heart. That uncleanness and defilement is a state of the heart. Jesus goes on to list some of the things that are in our heart. And it's brutal. It's a scathing litany of the fallen human nature. He says, evil thoughts. These are the things that are in your heart. Evil thoughts. I kind of broke it down a little bit different than the New Living Translation, but evil thoughts, fornication. Fornication is sex, recreational sex. Children's church is on the other side of the building. Recreational sex is called fornication. It's committing the sexual act outside of covenant. See, you're so special and so significant and that's so holy and so righteous that it should be with one person, one man and one woman for the rest of your life till death do you part. That's how special that is. You say, well, I've blown that. I understand. I get it. It doesn't mean you can't start now. Come on, if you're a single person, maybe you've been with plenty of people, you repent, don't do it anymore. Can I get a better amen? He said, why would God keep me from that? That's like the most fun there is. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. Praise the Lord. There's three reasons for sex. You should look at what I'm looking at right now. There's three reasons. One, oneness. Everybody say oneness. It's the greatest spiritual act, it's the greatest spiritual warfare act you can do as a married couple. I'll just say it that way. This is not a marriage seminar. I understand we have some younger kids, but like I said, maybe you should have checked them into children's church. Okay, I'm just kidding. It's totally holy, and if you don't hear about it here, for the love of God, where are you going to hear about it? Okay, oneness, very, very important. One flesh, very, very important. Number two, it's for children. It's for making other humans. And number three, it is for pleasure. Can you imagine if it was torture, there would be no population? Oh, gosh. Oh, God. Oh, Father, help me now. What? That's not the way it should be. Come on, somebody say amen. But fornication, it's the most beautiful godly act. It's not dirty. It's clean. It's a beautiful thing under the covenant of marriage. Outside the covenant, it will curse you and destroy your life, and it'll destroy you. I'm trying. theft, I'll move on. Theft, stealing, murder, adultery, that's stealing someone else's spouse. Greed, so important to be a tither, to be a giver. Don't ever get caught up in greed. It'll never satisfy you. It'll destroy your life. Malice or evil deeds. Harming people on purpose, deceit, trickery, or fooling someone so they can do something wrong. Lewdness. These are actual Greek words. You do a study on the Greek list here. It's very profound. Lewdness, envy. Envy is interesting. Evil eye is the actual word. Envy is evil eye. It's when you see somebody that has stuff that you want and you're so envious that you have an evil eye. Actually, it's making a spell on that person. It's cursing them for what they have and wanting their stuff. It's wicked. Slander. Slander and blasphemy. He lists these things. These come forth from our heart. Go ahead and have a praise break. You guys look like you need some help today. Come on. Come on, somebody say, oh, help me, Lord. Oh, help. Slander and blasphemy is the same. Blasphemy is slander towards God. Slander is slander towards each other. It's character assassination of another person, talking evil of someone. Listen, don't do that. Even if there is something that is wrong, don't you be the one that spreads it. Arrogance. It's a comparison so that you end up feeling better than someone else. It's wicked. Folly. All right, what's God saying? He's saying we all need a new heart. Home for the holidays. Take a look at your house. Your spiritual life. Is your house ready for the holidays? I'm not talking about you. I got dead stuff in my house. I'm going to find it. But the greater question is, do I have any dead stuff in this house? What is the fragrance coming forth from your heart? Is it a dead shrew? Is your house ready? Is your house ready for the holidays? We're going to make sure, by the grace of God, that it is. We all need a new heart. Every single person needs a new heart. Jeremiah 31, turn there with me. Old Testament prophesies that there come a time when God will provide a way for us to have a new heart. Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36 all talk about a new heart. Jeremiah 31 and 33, but this is a new covenant I will make with them. The people of Israel, after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their heart. I will be their God. They will be my people. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and I will make you clean. Your filth will be washed away. You will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart. And I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. I'll put my spirit in you so that you follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Jesus fulfills these Old Testament prophecies through his death and through his resurrection. He washes away our sin. The gospel preached in Acts 2 cuts people to the heart. Salvation, write in your notes, salvation comes through confessing Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That is how salvation comes. Galatians 4, 6, it says, because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Ephesians 3 and 16, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have power. Come on, somebody say power. May you have power to understand all that God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. Somebody once said, I thought we had to follow our heart. No. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, says Jeremiah, until you get a new one. And then even when you get a new one, you have to keep it new. It's really you follow God's word and you follow Spirit of God as he leads you. We must guard our hearts. Proverbs 4 and 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So let me just say, if you have evil coming out of your mouth, it's in your heart. And if it's in your heart, then your life will be sent off in a way that God has never intended it. So you have to take a look at what's coming out of your mouth and what's coming out of your heart. Dr. Morocco wrote a book on defilement. I believe we have it in our store, our merch store out there. It is about to be replenished. The book is transformative. It's really revelation that God gave him on defilement. And it lists all the different ways that I'm not going to go through all of that, but one of the ways is right in your notes is your relationships. Check out your relationships. If you have things in your life, you can be defiled by people and it can get in your heart. Bad company corrupts good character. Have you been exposed to evil? Talk about getting your house ready for the holidays, and I'm not talking about your apartment or your duplex or your home. Talking about this. Get this ready. Oh, and it's not just for the holiday. It's for his imminent soon return, which could be tonight or in the next 5 minutes. Is your house ready? You could have been exposed to evil. Maybe it's something you did. Most of you have a $1,000 device, your phone. Can be a cesspool of perversion and defilement brought right to your home, right to your palm of your hand. Now you got a privacy screen and nobody can see. And I always get concerned when I see youth doing this. And their hands move so fast. They can close apps and hide apps. You know, I feel like the Spirit of God is helping families specifically today. Don't miss tonight. I'm going to say it again. We had a rule in our family. If I asked for my kids' phones and they hesitated, it's game over. So I would say, can I see your phone? And if it wasn't instantaneously, I would say, Daniel, can I see your phone? And if it wasn't instantaneously, he would hand it to me. If it was, oh, well, how come? Oh, it's a problem. You know, pornography is a wicked, wicked thing. What it does is it dehumanizes people and makes them a toy. And it releases a spirit. I told you children's church is on the other side. It releases a spirit. And it releases a chemical response, say, doctors and people in the know, that's similar to drugs. It releases a rush. It used to just be men mostly, but it's not the case anymore. It's both men and women now. You need to be careful, not just for your children, but for you, because you can end up getting defiled and exposed to evil and see some things. He said, do you ever get defiled? Well, of course. Pastor, you got defiled. Listen, if you live in this world, defilement's going to come. Now, let me tell you, when you get defiled, what are you doing with it? Dr. Janelle Morocco will be here on the 17th of December. Years ago, at my house, she says to Daniel, who at that time, oh, I don't know, he's probably 15. He says, Daniel, when you get defiled, what are you doing with that? I never forgot her saying that, because it's not if you get defiled. It's when, because it's going to happen. We all need to have our feet washed. When you get defiled, what do? I tell you what I do. I tell my wife. I've got systems in place. I'm accountable all over the place. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head. However, you can keep it from making a nest in your hair. That's why I shaved my hair off. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody need to go find that dead shrew in your heart. Some of your freezers have been unplugged. You got blood all over the place and it's filled with rotten. You think, well, it's my life. But everybody in your life is affected by what you do. And whether people know exactly what you're doing, the enemy knows. God sees what you do. The level of Christianity maturity you have is what you do when nobody can catch you. When nobody can see, when you're in the dark, nobody will know. God knows. And the enemy sees it too. Are you getting anything today? Just recently, I experienced some triggers. You know what a trigger is? A trigger is when you go through something, a situation that happens, and all of a sudden the response that you have is not warranted by the offense that took place. So something happens, and instead of you being, not happy about it, what comes up is like a violence. And so instead of you being, maybe bothered or having to bring correction, instead of it's like, and you just like want to choke someone. Okay, that's an indication that you need healing, that you have defilement in your heart and you need to be healed. I've been through a lot of things. Anybody else been through a lot of things? So a situation took place and I saw this unwarranted upset rise up and I realized, oh, Jesus. I need healing. I thought I got healed of that. And I'm like, the Lord's like, yeah, you did, but it came back up, so don't worry about it, son. I wept, took my wife's hands, she prayed for me. It left. How do you know it left? Well, I feel like it did. How I'll really know? When the trigger comes again to see if it's still, see if comes out or if I'm able to respond Christ-like. You see somebody who's, well, I just have a short fuse. No, you're defiled and you need healing. Well, I just have an anger problem. My father had an anger problem. Mom had anger. No, you need healing. Raise your hands to heaven. No, it's the pizza I ate. No, it's from within. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Say, oh God, heal me. Lord, show me any place. Come on, say this. Say, Lord, show me if there's any place in me that needs healing. Come on, I dare you to pray this. Say, Lord, reveal any broken place in my life and heal me. Take out the heart of stone. Put in the heart of flesh. I don't want to be offended. I want to be whole. Heal my emotions. Heal my memories. Heal my spirit. Free me from all defilement. In Jesus' name. Woo! You don't have to do that part. That was just me. God is freeing and healing people all over the place, all over the house, all over the house. God's healing people. Some of you got problems in your marriages because you're mad at your mother. You're mad at your father. Your primary relationships are the base where it starts. You got to get healed. If your parents gave you the best they could, you can't give something you don't have. They're caught up and maybe trapped in their own defilement, their own wounds. Just forgive them. You change. You live free from that. Jesus was crucified for that thing that happened to you. Get your house ready. Is your house ready? Break off defilement. Oh, I think I missed some points here. Put your mind on good things. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Break off defilement from you and from others. Prayer. Use the authority in Christ that you have. Lay hands on yourself. I lay hands on myself. I've laid hands on myself and said, stop, stop it, stop. Some of you need to discipline yourself. I don't mean like wear a burlap sack and hit yourself with a switch. I'm not talking. Take your thoughts captive. Take hold of them. Do not let them run rampant. Take hold of them. Command them. You're a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. Your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, teach it to conform to the word of God. Make it obey. Don't you? The thoughts, not every thought's from God. You have a fallen human nature. Learn to take your, tell yourself to zip it. Stop it. Is anybody getting this? I need to say this one more thing before I wrap and conclude. When you're triggered and something happens, and maybe you fail, maybe you just blow your top and just rip everybody around, and then you get back to the place where you're sane. There can be demonization. Let me say it a different way. You can be bound by demon power when you have a stronghold, an unhealed place, a lie that you believe in your mind. It's a tonal, another message, but it ties into this real well. You have a place in your mind, a thought that's not of God. It can be a bastion. It can be a stronghold. It can be a fortress of unbelief and a lie. And if you have that and you entertain it or you allow it, the weapons of our warfare, that 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, the pulling down of strongholds. We take captive every thought, every high thing. That high thing has to do with cosmic powers. Literally, there seems to be connectivity. Watch this, pay attention, bump your neighbor, wake them up. There's connectivity between your thoughts and literally the spiritual realm. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So literally you can entertain thoughts or high things, have a stronghold, have a bastion of unbelief or hatred or lust or greed. Usually it's tied to a trauma. And you can have that in your life, and literally it's a place where the enemy has an entrance to be able to manipulate you. I didn't say that you're filled with demons, but you can be manipulated because of those thoughts. And that can literally set things up spiritually. Did you catch that? So what do you do? You have to tear them down. And so when you go through something where you're triggered, and you fail, let's say you fail. You come out of that, and you're like back in your car and you're worshiping, you're like, ah, I did it again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I hitting home at all? Because this is not talked about in most churches in Christianity. They don't talk about it. You'd be like, I just feel like I'm, who will deliver me from this body? The very thing I want to do, I don't do, says Paul. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Where you have these things that just rise up and you just use your credit card to ease your pain. Okay, maybe you didn't rip anybody and get all angry. Maybe you just spend tons of money or just eat gobs of chocolate cake and cookies and all kinds of stuff. So you're just. And there you are. Yeah, you don't smoke crack or smoke weed anymore. Some of you do. You just eat yourself into oblivion and that's okay. No, that's a drug also. I went through something a while back and I found myself sitting there with a couple things of pie. Like, oops, Lord. And this is what I'm trying to teach you. Then at that moment, what was that? What is that? What is that that triggered you that you want to go eat 15 slices of chocolate cake or get angry or whatever it is? What's the fruit of that? And then ask God, God, what is that? Would you show me? He will show you. And then what you do is you pray, God, heal me. And he'll bring maybe a memory. He'll bring something that happened when you were a little boy, when you were a little girl, or something when you were abandoned, or where something you were abused, or you weren't listened to. And the Lord will heal you. And it's good to have brothers and sisters that you really trust, that you can confess that to them. And they can pray one another. James talks about that. Confess your sins. The Catholic Church used that for the mediator, the priest, but that's not what that means. Confess your sins, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. That literally, your confession of that to another brother in Christ, for me, it's my wife. After that, I've got brothers in Christ, like my pastor. Pray for one another, you may be healed. And I'm telling you that God has healed me from every single trigger. And yet I'll have something come up occasionally and then like, I'm just going like, I don't know why it's so angry, whatever. I'm not going to judge. Lord, heal me now. And he will heal you. Is your house ready? Or do you have a dead shrew in there? Break off defilement. Lastly, you know something? That was really, really good. I'm just going to thank God. That's not in the notes. I'm going to thank God right there. That was gold. That was not in the first service. Father, thank you. Oh, renew your mind is the last point. Renew your mind with the word, Romans 12. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.